Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Here we go!
Listening to the Emerald Flow Show on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Hey everyone, this is Gerard. I completely and totally forgot to mention a very important plug, and I apologize for that. Yesterday, several hours before we recorded the latest episode of the Emerald Flow Show, I recorded nearly 2.5 hours on 34L30 on the Pro Wrestling Paradise with the indefatigable Alan 4L, and we talked about the career of Yuji Okabayashi. And I wanted to plug this because we had a great conversation ranging everything from the way he presents himself, his style, to his greatest rivalries and tag teams, of course, with Daisuke Sakamoto, and a lot of his interpromotional work in places like All Japan as well. So I think it's a great interest to listeners of the Emerald Flow Show. So that is coming out probably by the time you hear this. So you can definitely check that out on the Pro Wrestling Torch VIP. Thanks, everybody. Welcome to the 24th episode of the Emerald Flow Show. We are a podcast on the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. You can follow us on Twitter at Emerald Flow Show, and you can donate to the show at voicesofwrestling.com/donate if you're feeling very generous. And if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review. I'm Gerard DiTroglio, and I'm here with Paul Vosch. Paul, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I just proved my attachment to Pro Wrestling Noah because it is Spotify Wrapped season right now. And I looked at my top songs for the year, and it actually turns out that Kano's Theme was my top 5 song of the year.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's a good theme.
Yeah, it is. It is a really good theme. And I do remember that I listened to it quite a bit on Spotify this year, but I definitely did not expect that it actually would be like one of my top 5 songs for the entire year.
Yeah. I guess the most of the wrestling themes I listen to are like older ones, to be completely honest with you.
No, I mean, that's not on Spotify, but it's definitely on like YouTube.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I definitely have like a bunch of like themes basically downloaded on my YouTube. Like, I think, to be fair, from the older ones, probably the one I listen to the most is probably, it has to be either Hanson's or Jumbo's theme. Because those are just two complete bangers.
I listen to Hanson's theme a lot, yeah.
Because that theme is like, you never really get to like the part where the theme actually starts going real hard, because Hansen always gets to the ring so fast. So when you actually listen to the theme, like, holy shit, there's this entire section back here that is just, like, incredible. Like, that you never, ever get to hear in ring.
Yeah, I know. I think I know the part you're talking about. That's funny. This week we got some, I think, a lot of cool and interesting stuff, and maybe some not so cool things to talk about with Noah and All Japan. But first, I think we'll start briefly, a little bit of a cold take here, but Jun Akiyama in AEW, Paul, what did you think?
I think he's doing really, really well. I'm happy that this is kind of like the first time, like, if, because he's never been on American TV, I'm happy that the first time people in America will see him is on AEW TV and not like some WWE show. And also the fact that Eddie finally got his Jun Akiyama singles match. I think that was just really kind of a nice and special moment. And I also liked the match as well.
I thought it was great. I liked how they barely touched in the tag match on Rampage the night before, which was, you know, as soon as I saw that the way that they were working that, I'm like, okay, well, they're obviously going to be announcing the singles match, like either on the pre-show or on Full Gear. And they did, like, soon after. I thought the match was great. I thought Akiyama took some very big bumps that he didn't have to.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It also was very clear that, like, Akiyama was like, okay, this kid is clearly a gigantic fan of me. And I would assume that maybe Akiyama watched some of Eddie's stuff beforehand as well. So he was just very giving in the match.
From what I've heard, like, I don't think Akiyama realized how big, well, relatively, that, like, Pearl was in the States.
Oh, yeah, I could very easily see that as well. Like, he would have never really been in a promotion that would have been big in the US, right?
Well, Noah kind of was.
Noah kind of, but
they had the whole Ring of Honor thing.
But that was a different time, I would say. Like, because that's pre-New Japan boom, which really, like, right, brought Puro to, like, a whole nother level than it ever had been before outside of Japan.
That's true, too. You know, I mean, I talked to a lot of, like, there's a lot of people out there that got into New Japan in the mid-2010s and then have gone back to watch, I guess, the classic Japanese stuff.
Yeah.
So that's certainly a factor in there. And, Paul, I'm going to be completely admit this. Mm-hmm. I'm almost 38 years old in January, but God damn it if I didn't have some tears in my eyes at the end of that match.
No, it was very sweet, yeah. And also the fact that Eddie went over as well.
Yeah, that was surprising, I suppose. But not at the same time, because Tony Khan is protective of his guys.
Yeah.
But I don't think Akiyama probably had much of an issue doing that, because all he does is talk about how he likes to work with young talent now. So,
well, I mean, I'm not sure if I would classify Eddie as young talent.
But, you know.
It's Gorilla. Eddie Kingston alone, enters the Royal Rumble, and Gorilla Monsoon goes, oh, that young whippersnapper, Eddie Kingston.
Yeah. But I think he was generally moved by Eddie and was more than happy to lay on the mat for him, mm-hmm, and everything like that.
Yeah, I think that probably became even more clear. Like obviously they were like talking about it backstage first, so I can just imagine Eddie just basically just coming in with like a wish list that he's had drawn up since he was like, I don't know, however old. Like probably like a like dream list of like his stuff he wants to do in this match with Jun Akiyama, that he probably like wrote over like years or decades basically, and just probably came with that list and was like, can we do this? Can we do this? And Jun was probably like, okay, yeah, sure.
Definitely. Well, the one, and also I really liked, did you catch that the Akiyama was going to go for the sternness dust?
No, actually I missed that one, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it was just briefly, but I'm like, oh crap, he hasn't done that in a long time.
Yeah, no, that's not an old man's move, let's put it that way.
Yeah, definitely not. So, but that was really great, and I think one of the highlights of the year in wrestling.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, no, that was just incredibly fun.
Some breaking news that I just noticed: Atsu Mizuhara appears to have left Evolution, and I only noticed this because, lest you think that this is a bad sign, about half an hour ago, Evolution tweeted out that they have assembled a list of sponsors and posted them all to their on their website and everything like that. And then I was scrolling through the website and I noticed that her profile was no longer there and she's not on, her socials are gone and everything like that. So she's gone. I don't know what to say about it other than I don't think it's disastrous or anything like that because they're now like announcing their sponsors and everything like that. But I just thought it was an interesting observation.
Yeah, I mean, like they're all still kind of training as well, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of normal. I mean, how many trainees are there that we, like,
oh,
in
yeah.
other promotions that we never even see? Like, people that enter the dojo, and then they just kind of quietly retire before they ever even have a match.
Or disappear in the middle of the night.
Yeah, that too. So,
all right.
Normal wrestling. I wouldn't be too worried about that. Unless, like, all of them drop out, and I don't know, it's just, like, zones left.
No, I don't think so. The rest of them are still... seem to be excited about their training and everything, which is a good sign. So we move on to Pro Wrestling NOAH, to NOAH The Best 2022 on November 23rd at Yoyogi National Stadium, Gym Number 2, drawing 872 fans. I don't know what to make of this number because it's bigger than a Korakuen, but like, I mean, that Tai Chi Taka Mania show just had like 1,900 fans in it. So,
I mean,
can't call that a great number.
No, but I mean, then again, with the kind of card that they put on, I think this is a decent number based on just on the card that they had there.
Yeah,
like, if this was like a bit more of a loaded show,
I mean,
I would
like
say this
show,
is a bad number, but just, I mean.
Yeah, it was slightly above a Korakuen, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, with exception of that really loaded Korakuen, but then again, it drew better than that loaded Korakuen, so, you know?
Yeah. So we go on to the first match. Funky Express, Muhammad Yone, and Akitoshi Saito defeated Tadasuke and Hiroki in 10 minutes and 22 with an Iron Claw slam from Saito on Hiroki. Paul, I didn't see this, but what did you think?
I mean, it was exactly what you expected. It was a Funky Express opening match against Kongo. Pretty sure we've actually seen this exact type of matchup as well. So it was just really kind of, if you just picture that match in your head, that's exactly how it went. I think it's really like the best thing I can say about this match. But it was a fine opener, and with the expected result as well, where the heavyweights go over the juniors.
Yeah, the result is not surprising, and I'm sure I could probably visualize most of this match.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. I really don't have a lot to say about this.
Yeah. Next up, Hideki Suzuki defeated Shuhei Taniguchi in 12 minutes and 56 seconds via referee stop from repeated elbows to the head. I had high expectations going in, and I thought this was great.
Yeah.
You know, it was like mat-based and stiff, and then they just sort of like lost the shit at each other, and then like Suzuki got pissed, and that's how you ended up with the finish with the elbows.
Yeah, no, I thought this was great as well. I thought, but like, given the fact that this was like the second match on the card, I think they worked way harder than I expected them to. Like, I thought this match had like a potential to be good, but I was also like, second match on the card, how hard are they actually going to work? And then no, they actually went in and put on a really, really nice, like, quick match as well. And yeah, I thought like the aggression that Suzuki showed here during the finish was great as well.
Yeah, for sure. The next up, we had three matches in one, technically. this is billed as the final Perros del Mal de Japón. So it was a double countout in 1 minute and 5 seconds, a double countout in 53 seconds, and then a DQ in 11:36, so it was Yoshinori Ogawa, Yasutaku Yano, and Kai Fujimura. Technically, in the end, defeated Nosawa, Rangai, Eita, and Super Crazy.
Yeah,
I hated it.
What other way really is there for like Paris Damal to go out? I mean, it's just really on brand. This is really actually their final match. Like, yeah, there's really no other way they could have ended it, I guess.
So tiresome, and I don't know. There was like some promo cuts on everything like that, and I know. So I guess sort of coming out of this match, I guess related to Peros, looks like Kotaro Suzuki's headed over to DDT.
Which is weird that seems to be like the only way like you can have like some sort of crossover between Noah and DDT is if literally one guy leaves the promotion and goes to the other one.
Now, was Suzuki even contracted to Noah?
I thought he was a freelancer. Like, I don't think he ever had the Noah like logo on the website.
No, I think he's like, because there was a bit of there where he was still like doing sort of both All Japan and Noah, although, and it just became Noah more and more after he left All Japan in what, 2015 or 2016. Mm-hmm. And so I mean, I just didn't think he was contracted, but I don't know. I mean, in some ways, it makes me believe that maybe Nosawa really is retiring more so. But I don't know. I'm still somewhat skeptical.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. Actually, like now that I guess Paris is actually over, where would you rank them amongst like the recent like Noah Jr. factions?
One of the worst.
Yeah, absolutely. Like even some of the like really short-lived ones like Full Throttle, I would probably rank above them.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, they also lost steam when they lost, like, Hidaka and Suzuki showed up a lot less, too, right? Because those were the two best wrestlers in the group.
Like, that's still the weird thing that, like, Ikuta Hidaka was, like, the only one that actually left during the whole Paris is leaving Noah storyline. Because that was the last time he was there with them, and then he just is gone. Like, they come back, and he's not there, and he's, like, wrestling outside of Noah now.
I mean, I wonder if he had issues with how things were being run back there.
Yeah, I mean, I could imagine that.
And I wonder if June has issues with how things are being run in Noah, because he's barely been there since coming to DDT.
Yeah, but no one really has. Like, there's really no crossover at all between DDT and Noah outside of the Cyber Fight Festival.
Yeah. So that's just some interesting development, but I think Suzuki could be fun in DDT, like a good veteran hand, because there's a lot of young talent in DDT right now that I think could benefit from working with someone like Suzuki.
Yeah, and I think he's already been put into Burning as well.
Yep, I figured he would.
Yeah, I mean, that just makes that perfect sense, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, a Yusuke Okada and Kotaro Suzuki team would be great.
I mean, that's something for Okada to do for once.
Yeah. And so next up, we had Jack Morris defeating Daiki Inaba in 13 minutes and 54 seconds with the Tiger Driver. Pretty good. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say got into great territory. Jack seems to be over with the crowd, because I forgot to mention that this was you could make noise on this show. But, you know, solid enough. Although Morris's facial expressions are still bothering me, even though I really like him otherwise.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something he can still work on. But, I mean, look, he has time. If he's already, like, he's adapted to it, like, super quickly, so I think he has, like, time to work on, like, some of the weaknesses that he still has. But, yeah, otherwise, as I said, this was a fun match. And, not really memorable, I will say. I was, like, coming away from the match, I was like, yeah, I enjoyed that match, but I also doubt I will remember it for very long.
Yeah, it just was there to like put over Morris, who I think he might get that GHC title shot in like late January or February.
I mean, he should. Like, he's been not motioning for it forever now.
Yeah, for sure. And next up, M's Alliance reunion. Naomichi Marufuji, Masato Tanaka, and Masaki Mochizuki defeated the Suguragun team of Takashi Sugera, Kazuyuki Fujita, and Timothy Thatcher in 17 minutes and 27 seconds when Marufuji sort of outsmarted Sugera and rolled them up. Yeah, this was pretty good. I would have suspected so. You know, you're like, standard Noah six-man tag team match featuring, you know, a lot of the main eventers and top guys. So, yeah, and this was in some ways really just to set up what we got after the match. Yep. But, Paul, what did you think of the match?
I thought the match was really fun. I really liked that they were kind of, like, heavily teasing, like, a permanent Imps Alliance reunion here, only to then kind of swerve them in the post-match. And, yeah, otherwise, like, I think everyone really kind of, like, did a lot of stuff here. Everyone worked hard, and yeah, I mean, we've been saying this for like the entire length of the podcast now, where Noah has just really perfected this kind of formula for doing six-man tags.
Yep. And then after the match, Marufuji challenged Sugera for the tag titles, and Sugera agreed, but then Marufuji looked and like he was going to pick either Mochizuki and Tanaka, but then turned around on his partners and announced Kenta would be his partner. And it was so funny because Sugera like had to sell like he was shocked.
Yeah.
But Sugera's not like someone who would come across like he's going to be intimidated when he mentions Kenta, but it was still funny to watch his facial expressions on that.
No, also like that like both of the like the both like Mochizuki and Tanaka were like kind of like stretching out their hands. And then Marufuji just turns around, no, actually I'm picking Kenta.
So they are going all in on that January 1st Budokan show. I don't know. I mean, Kenta's couple appearances in Noah prior to that injury he got at last Wrestle Kingdom, he was like some of the best he's looked since leaving WWE. Mm-hmm. So I'm cautiously optimistic about this match.
Yeah. I mean, it's just he had a pretty heavy injury, so
yeah.
We will see, but yeah, I mean that January 1st match last year, like that one was excellent. That six man tag where like him and Inamura just beat the shit out of each other, that was awesome.
Yeah. Next up, we had a match that served a similar purpose. Amaxa and Alejandro defeated Dante Leon and Yohei in 11 minutes and 13 seconds with a modified crucifix hold from Amaxa on Leon. I actually thought this was actually kind of decent. And I don't want to give him too much props, but I think Leon is, like, slightly getting better in Noah.
I mean, this is hard for him to go down, right? So
yeah.
Just being, like, everyone has kind of always benefited from wrestling in Japan. If you were kind of, like, especially if you were kind of bad before. So yeah.
Unless you're completely useless.
Yeah, unless you're, like, Dirt Bike Kid, like, you're going to get better.
Yeah. So, you know, I thought it was good and it set it up. And look, I feel like Amaxa is hot right now and they should pull the trigger. I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, but we've been saying that for like a few other people as well. But like, I just don't really see the benefit of like a lengthy Dante Leon reign. Like, so I think kind of going with kind of a guy that is hot right now and like over with the crowd and has like established, like that's his problem as well. Like Dante Leon only has like one established feud, which is with Ninja Mac. So really, like, putting it on a guy that has, like, multiple people that he can feud with makes more sense.
Yeah, like, have, like, Tadasuke come out and challenge him after
he... Yeah, or, like, maybe he can run for, like, the other Kongo guys and then Tadasuke at the end or something like that, yeah.
Yeah. There were Dante chants, though, at one point.
I mean,
not, like, heavy, but, yeah, he's got his fans. And then next up... Kaito Kiyomiya, Satoshi Kojima, and Masa Kitamiya defeated Kenno, Kazuhiko Nakajima, and Manabu Soya in 18 minutes and 6 seconds with a modified Shining Wizard on from Kiyomiya on Kenno. Like we said, Noah has perfected the six-man, but I thought this was even better than the other six-man on this show. This was great the last few minutes. Yep. I thought the stuff between Kitamiya and Soya was great towards the beginning, and then the last few minutes with Kenno and Kaito were awesome. Kaito's like modified Shining Wizard, which where he grabs the head and drives it into the knee, looks hit or miss, but I thought the one he used here looked really great on Kenno, and it's gotten me really hyped for that January 1st match.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I thought this was really helped by the fact that like they were working with such an established feud here with Kaito and Kenno, so I think that just added like another level of heat to it. That like the other six-man tag was really great as well, but it didn't have that same kind of intensity as this one. Like, just because, like, like Kaito and Kenno just have really that kind of next, like that it really is kind of just like such a great feud that it just brings a whole another level of intensity to this kind of match. And yeah, as I said, I'm also kind of always iffy on the modified Shining Wizard, because just especially the first couple of times he hit it, it looked like absolute dog shit. But it looked good here, and so hopefully that means that if it actually sticks around as his finisher, that like he will be able to make it look better now and hopefully consistent. So yeah, I hope that means that also like he's kind of like getting out of, because I think like ever since the Suzuki match he's been a bit of a funk. Like he did get better in the Fatra match, so I hope that now he can kind of redeem himself from the kind of not very great Kenno match that he had when he won the title, and that he just gets back into form now and then just has a great 2023.
Yeah, I mean, I think in that Kenno match, they were probably holding some stuff back because they knew they had to like come back 2 months later at Budokan.
Yeah, maybe that's one of the reasons.
It's technically a good match, just it was technically a good match. It was just like just way below what they were capable of in the past. Yeah,
and because that's what I mean. Like normally they have like great intensity like they had here, and that just wasn't really the case in that match. So I hope that means that, yeah, as I said, maybe they were just purposefully holding back because they knew they had to run it back 2 months later. So, yeah, that they now, like, pull out all of the stops January 1st and just lay down an absolute banger.
Yeah. And then next up for the GHC Junior Heavyweight title, Atsushi Kotoge and Seki Yoshioka defeated Shuji Kondo and Hajime Ohara in 23 minutes and 40 seconds with a kill switch from Kotoge on Ohara to win the titles right back in a pointless title switch. Or the first one was the pointless title switch. Paul, I only saw the last couple of minutes of this and it looked good, but what did you think of the thing as on a whole?
I thought it went a little bit long. As you said, the finishing stretch was really good, but everything before that was okay at best, I want to say. Like I said, I definitely felt it dragged a little bit. I think they started off well, and then the middle was just kind of a whole bunch of nothing, and then they kind of like really then like started going to another gear during the finish. But yeah, I mean, otherwise I can really say, as you said, like just an absolutely pointless title switch and Kurikan, and now they just switch it right back to the Kotoge and Yoshioka. I mean, I'm happy with that because I'd rather see those two than Kondo and especially Ohara. So, yeah, I don't know. That's really the best I can say about this. It's just, I wished it would have gone like a few minutes, like it probably could have cut like, I guess it's a title match, so you have to go a little bit long. So I guess maybe don't cut like 10 minutes off of this, but if you cut like 5 minutes off of it, it's a much better match.
Death, Taxes, and a Noah Junior title match going 2 minutes too long.
Yes. unless it's Ogawa and Ridgeway as champions.
Right. Exactly. They're the only exception. And then in our main event... Oh, sorry. After the match, Yohei came out and challenged for the junior tag titles, and he announced his partner would be Dragon Gate's KZ.
Yeah, that should actually
be
great.
To this team. Yeah.
I think... KZ is one of the best guys in Dragon Gate, so I think him. But I feel like he's been kind of like, to be honest, I felt he's been a bit stale this year in Dragon Gate. So I think him kind of coming here into Noah and getting a title match and everything, I think it's gonna like freshen him up a bit, like working in a new environment.
Yeah, for sure. But I think I would assume, well, you never know with the Noah Juniors, but I assume like Yohei's just eating the fall.
I would assume as well that Kotoge and Yoshioka defend the titles here, but yeah, I mean, it's the Noah Juniors, so never to say never. I mean, could also that be that, like, I don't know, like Kotoge betrays Yoshioka or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, for like no reason, like not that I'm saying that they've been teasing that, but like, to be fair, there has actually been a while since the last like nonsensical Noah Junior turn, but kind of due for one.
Yeah, because well, I think what was the last time they sort of turfed some of the guys out of Congo, like Amaska and Alejandro.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really had anyone turn heel in a while as well.
Right. And then in our main event for the GHC national title, El Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr. defeated Yoshiki Inamura in 26 minutes and 2 seconds with the moonsault press. A slightly surprising result, because I thought, you know, we thought that Wagner was just a transitional champion. But no, they're going with him. And I thought they always saw something in him, but it seems like they are really serious now about doing something with him. I thought this was a pretty darn good match. These guys filled their time up mostly well. Inamura was awesome. Wagner continues to improve, although I think his selling is a little shaky at times. There was a point where he's like the "I'm exhausted" and goes to try to chop Inamura, and he just like gives like a Orange Cassidy level chop. But I just thought that looked sort of lame, to be honest with you. But other than that, like, the crowd was into both guys. They got really hot towards the end. There were some great spots, some wild dive from Wagner, like off the top rope over the barrier into the seats where Inamura was. And yeah, just like a good showing that these guys needed and deserved to be in the main event. And hopefully it's a sign of new directions in NOAH. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's time to take off the tinfoil hat, because, yep, turns out, no, it wasn't the fact that Funaki didn't want to put Inamura over. It was just that they're actually serious about pushing Dr. Wagner, pushing Wagner here. So, yeah, and I thought this was actually his best singles match, because I think this was better than any match he had in the N1 or anything else he's had previously. Inamura was working really hard as well. I mean, this was his first main event singles match, right? So I'm trying to think if he's ever been in a singles position.
Probably his biggest.
Yeah. So, yeah. He was very obviously motivated, even if he was, scheduled to lose, obviously. So I think this match definitely exceeded my expectations.
For sure.
And, yeah, if this is the effort level that we're getting from Wagner during this title reign, then I'm actually kind of interested to see where they're going with this. I don't think they've announced a match for him yet at Budokan, right?
No, they have not.
Yes, I'm.
So it'll be interesting to see who they.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting, and so yeah, I mean, maybe now they're going to run with him a bit and see what they can get out of him. I mean, now I think it's also kind of the perfect time to push him. You've had him for a couple of years now; he's an established name. So maybe you can actually make someone here if you give him a good title reign. So, I mean, yeah, sure, why not? I mean, you got to try, and if it doesn't work, then at least you tried. And if it works, then yeah, great job.
Yeah. And all in all, I would say, even though I didn't see every match on the show, I think I enjoyed this show as a whole more than most other recent NOAH shows.
Yeah, because outside of the Perros nonsense, I don't think there was anything on the show that I thought was bad. The junior title match was too long, but it had a hot opener and a hot closing stretch, so I'm that's pretty decent. And then all of the six-man tags were great, minus the Perros one, obviously. All of the tag matches were fine, and then it had a main event that over-delivered. So yeah, I would actually say top to bottom. I don't think this is a show of the year contender or anything like that, but
no.
I definitely enjoyed myself watching it.
Yeah, and it just gave me a better feeling for NOAH's direction.
Yeah.
Right? Kaito's looking strong, and I think maybe I'm a little more bullish recently on Kaito than you are. And then just giving Wagner and Inamura 26 minutes in the main event, I think is a good sign too.
Yeah, it definitely seems like they're trying to push some new people, which again is kind of desperately needed for NOAH, because some of the older people are on their way out. So now you need to put the focus on the young guys so that people stick around once the old guys are gone.
Yeah, because that will be interesting to see what happens when that happens too. I'm curious if they panic or they just stay the course. Yeah. So also the big announcement, Darby Allin will be in Keiji Muto's retirement match, teaming with him and Great Muta's final match, teaming with him and Sting. I think that the possibility of this final Muta match actually delivering has gone up considerably, depending on who they put on the other side. But I hope they put someone that Darby can do all of his crazy shit with.
And they've been very kind
Even
of
like Matt, Ninja yeah, Matt.
They've been very secretive about who is actually going to be that opponent as well.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious, like, who is actually going to face Muta there? Because now that we know who he's teaming with, because he's teaming with Sting and Darby Allin, so that opens up some possibilities about who could be like his opponent in that match or his opponents in that match.
Do you think it's more foreigners?
It could be more foreigners.
Vampiro?
Oh God! it's Vampiro and the Insane Clown Posse. The Dark Carnival explodes. Wait, was that their name?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Yeah, yep. Okay.
It was the Dark Carnival, yeah.
So,
yeah, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Although I'm curious if they wait until January 1st to announce the opponent.
I could see that as well, yeah.
Yeah, so you'll have to wait on that. But, I mean, I'm curious how hard Sting will work.
I mean,
I think he'll work hard in this.
I mean, he's,
but he's obviously not
working hard every single time he does an AEW match.
Yeah, but he's probably got a nice paycheck from Tony Khan every two
I mean,
weeks.
He's probably getting a nice paycheck for this one. Let's be
yes,
real.
Yes, that's true, too. Yeah, of course. But maybe he just, sees it. Well, he's got to save himself. Because, I mean, he's taken those bumps, but I'm pretty sure he's cognizant of how many bumps
he's left.
Oh,
yeah, he probably has, like, a very much, like, I know everyone always talks about, like, the bump card, but I think for Sting, it literally is a bump card, and he, like, stamps it every single time he takes a bump.
Basically does it every pay-per-view at this point, AEW pay-per-view. Yeah.
So, and that bump card will run out eventually.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm kind of excited where that match is going, depending on who the opponent is.
Yeah, no, I think that could be a really interesting match. And also, did you see that New Japan has announced a new, quote-unquote, Wrestle Kingdom show just before the Great Muta Bye Bye show?
I did the day before in the same Yokohama arena, which is
that's
fascinating.
Interesting. I'm wondering if we're going to see any crossover there.
Is there another New Japan versus Noah show?
I mean, I don't think they're going to go that deep, but again, it is noticeable that it is literally the day before in the same arena.
Well, I mean, people were like, what is this third Wrestle Kingdom going to be? And then they sort of exceeded expectations. Yeah. So I'm assuming that they've got something up their sleeve.
Yeah.
People are saying it's an AEW show because it's on like a Saturday or something.
I could see that as well. But I mean, we've only ever gotten the announcement for Great Muta's last match in New Japan.
Yeah. That's true, too. It could be Keiji Muto's last match in New Japan. Of course, he could still make it to the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah.
Or the January 4th Tokyo Wrestle Kingdom. So I don't know. But, I mean, I am relatively confident that New Japan will have something big for that show. And I'm still leaning towards some sort of Noah involved.
Yeah, like just because like everyone is going to be there anyway. Like,
well, I mean, it's in Yokohama.
Yes.
Everybody's already there basically close by in Tokyo anyway. So we had some Noah announcements of upcoming cards like before the New Year's show. I'm just looking at note on December 18th. There's a Noah New Hope at Shinkiba First Ring. This is their first show at Shinkiba in a while, but it's got a really interesting theme, mostly of younger wrestlers versus, I won't call them all old, but established wrestlers. So you got like Atsushi Kotoge versus Shoki Kitamura of 01, Masa Kitamiya and Daiki Inaba versus Yoshiki Inamura and Taishi Ozawa, Naomichi Marufuji versus Kai Fujimura, which I'm looking forward to because I like when Marufuji works with the young boys, Kaito Kiyomiya and Maxa versus Jack Morris and Dante Leon, and main eventing is Satoshi Kojima versus Yasutaku Yano, which also I think could be a lot
of fun. That is a really curious match. That's also the size difference.
I think. Well, Kojima's not as tall as you think, but Yano's.
Yes, Yano is very short, even by Noah standards.
But I have a feeling that Kojima will give him a lot.
Yeah. No, I think this. I'm actually also really looking forward to that match, and I hope this is, because it seems to be that Shin Kiba has just gone fuck it and just makes every show a cheering show.
Yeah, well, we were discussing, there was some discussion about that in the Voices of Wrestling Slack today, and I think it's like, well, Shin Kiba probably also attracts the most hardcore fans of every company.
Because again, it's not like the arena is like very centrally located, like it's not a, like you don't really have walk up to Shin Kiba first ring.
The one issue that I had with that Noah show compared to other like cheering crowd shows is that it's a, like, that venue was less than half full and it's like cavernous.
Yeah.
So it wasn't quite as intense as some other, even, you know, like a half full court in the hall.
No, but I mean, like we've seen for like the All Japan shows, like if you can actually properly fill that one, like it has the best atmosphere right now.
Yeah. And then, well, so does a certain fruit market, I thought. And then on December 18th, which is like the evening show at Corican Hall, we've got the Congo Produce Diamond 5 show, Hiroki versus Alejandro, Manabu Soya and Shuji Kondo versus Daiki Inaba and Seki Yoshioka, Wrestle 1 Rewind, Masakatsu Funaki versus Yoshiki Inamura. Paul, do you think Inamura finally gets that win?
I mean, no. I don't think so.
Katsuhiko Nakajima versus Satoshi Kojima, always a treat. We're going back to Amasuka versus Tadasuke on that show.
Yeah, I'm actually curious on that. I'm curious on the result on that one. I could actually see that one be like a no contest or something like that.
Yeah. And then Kenno versus Hajime Ohara for the main event, which seems strange.
Yeah, not a fan of that one.
Kenno just kicks the shit out of him.
I mean, that would be nice. I mean, yeah, I don't... Like, I think I like the rest of the show. I'm not a fan of that main event.
No. There's a Star Navigation 2022 at Corican Hall on the 19th. Matches of note, Yohei versus Seki Yoshioka. I think that would be good. Kazuhiko Nakajima versus Jack Morris. I think that will be interesting because if Jack wins...
He's definitely getting a title shot.
I could
shot.
See it happening. Yeah. He's definitely getting a title shot. And I think that's possible. And then the main event... Actually, this I like the sound of the six-man. Kaito Kiyomiya, Masato Tanaka, and Atsushi Kotoge versus Kenno, Manabu Soya, and Shuji Kondo. That should be a lot of fun. And then main evented by Naomichi Marafuji versus Satoshi Kojima.
That's a match that I have like unreasonable expectations for because, that's a match that I'm almost guaranteed to be a little bit disappointed by because I just, in my head, it's two very different wrestlers in that ring than they are right now, let's put it that way.
They had a match before, though, when Kojima was in Noah in, like, what, 13, 14 or something?
But that's a very different Marufuji already.
Well, yeah, but it's different than when it's, like, a first-time match.
Yeah,
I suppose.
No, definitely. But, like, in my head, I'm like, oh, is this, like, 2007 Marufuji was 2007 Kojima. It's like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
That's not what this is going to be. But I think still it has a potential to be a good match.
I think so, too. I still like Marufuji singles matches when he
tries. And I mean, this one should definitely be one because it's the lead-up to a title match.
Yeah. And then on December 23rd at Shinjuku Face, we have another N Innovation show. This one has, of note, it was really, I think, only the top three matches. Yoshinari Ogawa versus Eita could be fun, but I could also just see it ending in a DQ.
Actually, there's one more match, actually, that I think is of note, which is the match prior to that, which is Nosawa versus Yano. Because Yano did get a pin on Nosawa. So I'm actually curious if, like... I mean, I would expect Nosawa to get his win back, but again, if he is actually... Like, I think if he takes the pin here, I think that makes it significantly more likely that he is actually retiring.
For sure. And I also get the feeling that they're going to start moving Yano up the card because he's got that match with Kojima and everything, right? So I think that could be a sign. Ogawa versus Eita. And then the GHC Junior Heavyweight Tag Title match, as we said, Kotoge and Yoshioka versus Yohei and KZ. And then in the main event... Dante Leon versus Amasuka. So it's interesting that they're running that Tadasuke match before. And then, we've already talked about the Budokan show on January 1st. Like, obviously, Kiyomiya versus Kenno, Great Muta versus Shinsuke Nakamura, and then now Sugera and Kojima versus Mark Fuji and Kenta. But just announced a couple hours ago, I think, is Funaki, Nakajima, and Soya versus Fujita, Kashin, and X.
So what do you think of Satoshi Kojima pulling double duty on the show?
I don't know. But how can you top the greatest X?
Exactly. They should come up with a new letter for, like, surprise wrestlers now.
Do you have any feel for who this is?
No, because if Kojima didn't already have a match, I would have said they're just going to make it Kojima again. But like now that it has just like Kojima being X every single time on a Noah show for like the last 6 months has kind of rotted my brain where I just can't think of anyone else that it could be.
Yeah. Is it a shooter?
I mean, just based on who he's teaming with, it should be. But what shooter is even left that hasn't worked Noah yet?
Shinya Aoki?
I guess.
I don't know.
Because I'm like, I can't really...
You got the cyber fight connection. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe it's Keisuke Okuda.
Oh, that's possible.
Then again, I was like about to say, but he's a terrible shooter. But then again, so is Kendo Kashin. So.
Is he fighting on New Year's Eve? Okuda will get the shit kicked out of him and then appear on the
show. It just shows up with just his face bashed in.
So that's pro wrestling Noah. Overall, I am feeling a lot better about the company, I think.
Yep. No, this definitely like was. I felt this was kind of like a necessary refresh that they had with Noah the best. It might not have been the best card on paper, but it was definitely the best show recently.
Yeah, definitely. And then now we move over to All Japan Pro Wrestling and continue our coverage of the Real World Tag League and the Junior Battle of Glory. We got a lot to talk about, Paul. Some good and some bad. And we start off on November 19th at the Sunrec Kitakami in front of 456 fans. And we'll just cover the tournament matches. Dan Tamura defeated Rising Hayato in 8 minutes and 36 seconds with a Death Valley bomb. Paul, I have a lot to say about Dan the Man. I think he's coming out. This is his coming out.
Yes, he really is.
He is coming. Oh, crap. I should have looked this up before. But what's the word for man in Japanese?
I don't know.
Because Dan is boy. So I was going to be like, he's no longer a Dan. He's...
He's no longer Danny Boy. He's Dan the Man now, yeah.
Yeah.
No, this is really his breakout tournament. And, like, it's very obvious that that's the attention. Like, it's very becoming very...
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card. But with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club Slab Pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show, and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it and look, it's going to be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably going to get in those. Maybe you find that fun, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs, and it ends up being, you know, almost nothing, you know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You get a display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading. So you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, sending these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. Keyless entry, no more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio. And then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They're on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy Video Lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived, and really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys and reach in my pocket, or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy Video Lock. I touch it. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition, 1 second. Door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
Very clear why they're doing this tournament. Like, it's very clear that this is the, like, put Dan Tamura over tournament, because he's just incredibly dominant as well. Like, he's just beating everyone.
He's walking with a swagger that, and confidence that he didn't have before.
Like, I think that's been, like, probably the best job in terms of, like, pushing someone that All Japan has done this year, where they did the whole storyline of him getting, like, where he got the shit beaten out of him by his voodoo murderers, and then he finally, like, gets revenge at the Budokan show by winning the All Asia titles, and then just that just very clearly has given him a new level of confidence.
Yeah. At first I thought the 10-minute time limit gimmick was cool, but there's a lot of matches that could have used like 11 minutes or 12 minutes.
same. Like, I'm very much like, this was really fun. I was like, it's already over. Okay.
And that was the case here. But yeah, I mean, well, I mean, Hayato's been pretty good in this tournament as well. So this was a really good
match. No, I think everyone has kind of been working really, really hard in the tournament. Like, I can't really think of anyone where I'm like, oh, I'm disappointed by like this person's effort.
No.
I think everyone has really like, because I think Dan kind of overshadows how good Ryo Inoue has been as well.
Absolutely.
Like, because Dan, obviously, like, he's the clear standard, but I think Inoue, like, I think that's kind of the, like, underreported story where he is also, like, developing, like, really well.
Yeah, and he's trying to go toe-to-toe. I think you could also, well, we'll get to that later, but I think there's some stories being set up for Inoue in this tournament.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, as I've been saying for a while now, this promotion is carried by its junior division now. As weird as that sounds.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And then we go to the real world, or sorry, I forgot to mention, no, sorry, that was the only junior battle of glory match on the show. And then we go to the real world tag league. Kento Miyahara and Takuya Nomura defeated Koji Doi and Kuma Arashi in 16 minutes and 42 seconds when Miyahara used the shutdown German suplex hold on Kuma. Yeah, I mean, good, but not particularly memorable.
No. I was a little bit disappointed because it was actually one of the matches in the tournament I was looking forward to the most. And it was fine, but as I said, it wasn't anything memorable, really.
Yeah. And then next up, Suwama and Kono defeated Jake Lee and Yuma. Or sorry, no, it was a double countout. So in 14:31.
Yeah.
Despite showing some promise. Well, yeah, I mean, Suwama and Kono started off fine, but then, you know, this was Voodoo Murder shit.
It's so weird that they go back and forth on that.
Yep.
Like, they have clean matches, and then they have matches like this, and then they have clean matches, and they have matches like this. I almost would like it more if it would be more... I actually would like it more if there was just interference every single time they have a match, because at least that would be consistent.
Yeah. Because then they're like, oh, well, we've turned a corner. Oh, but back to the powder and Taru and everything like that. And then in the main event, Shuji Ishikawa and Cyrus, Shuji R Us, that's an inside joke, defeated Yuji Nagata and Yuma Anzai in 13:42 when Ishikawa used the Splash Mountain on Anzai. And this was good. Probably, I think, the best match on the show, at least from the tag league match.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed this one. I think Ishikawa and Cyrus are just a great, like, monster team.
Yeah. I mean, because, and then, I think this becomes more apparent in some of the later matches we'll talk about, but I think they have a good formula where, like, Ishikawa carries the bulk of the match and then Cyrus comes in and does what he can do. And that covers up Cyrus's weaknesses.
I thought, like, Nagata and Anzai are, like, a good team to put opposite of them as well. I'm curious maybe if they're going to run that match back relatively soon, but more on that later.
Well, more on that later, yes. So that was that show, which I think overall, though, was one of the weaker shows of the tour.
I mean, it was also one of the shows that didn't really have cheering, so that didn't help.
Yeah. And then we move on to November 20th at Hotel Epinard in Nassau, in front of 368 fans in the tournament matches. Junior Battle of Glory. Ryo Inoue defeated Hokuto Omori in 3 minutes and 35 seconds with a jackknife hold. Big win.
Yeah.
Big upset. Inoue's first win of his career, I think. Pretty sure. And it was pretty fun for the 3.5 minutes. But also, we got to talk. Hokuto's
shit. Yes. Yeah, I was actually, because I was going to want to talk about that as well. Because he's winless and spoiler alert, he doesn't win a match until we, get through talking about all of the show, all the Japan shows we're going to talk about. Is he going to go completely zero? Because he has one more match left after all of the shows we're talking
about. He's got Sato.
Yeah, he has Sato
still
left.
So I think he could win that because he's got that matches with Sato and has never been able to beat him before, and I think that tells a nice little story.
But it's also interesting, and they did the whole setup for Inoue and Omori when they did the press conference, where Inoue attacked Omori at the press conference.
Yeah.
And then it resulted in a 3.5 minute match, but it was still really good for what it was. Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked if Omori gets his win back on Inoue soon.
No. I feel like this is kind of it feels like they're telling a story with him here where he Because he was kind of, they were teasing him going up to heavyweight, and then they put him in a junior tournament. So I guess maybe the story is like, he thought he's above these people, and now he needs to kind of like come back after the tournament and redeem himself.
Yeah. And then next up, we had Rising Hayato defeat Hikaru Sato in 6 minutes and 52 seconds with the Sid Vicious. Big win for Hayato. And I thought this was a really good match. Like, as you can expect, you know, Hayato trying to do his high flying, but Sato trying to ground him with submissions, and it worked very well.
But again, this was another one of those matches where I'm like, I would have liked to have this a bit more time. I mean, this one didn't even get close to the 10-minute time limit.
No. But, you know, that, it turns out, one of the weird, strange times in wrestling where it's like, this is none of this is getting enough time, but oh well.
But what we do get is has been really, really good. Like, I've actually really enjoyed this tournament so far.
Oh, for sure. And then next up in the Real World Tag League, we had Koji Doi and Kuma Rashi defeating Yuji Nagata and Yuma Anzai in 9 minutes and 46 seconds when Kuma used the Argentine backbreaker on Anzai. In some ways, like, the most dominant win for Doi and Kuma so far, and also, like, the most... Nagata and Anzai look like they were getting dominated, sort of, because they've been very competitive even in the matches they lose.
Yeah, this is the most Anzai has looked like a young boy. Not maybe since he debuted, but like, because I think that was still like the Suzuki match. But this was definitely like the least he's got in a match in this tournament, I would say.
Yep. But, you know, good enough, but short, even by the standards of this tournament. And then next up for the Real World Tag League, Jake Lee and Yuma Aoyagi finally get on the board when they defeated Jun Saito and Rei Saito in 10 minutes when Jake used the D4C on Jun. Paul, at this point, I started to notice, are the Saitos actually, like, getting good? Or maybe that's a strong word. Yeah, that's a bit strong. But they're showing progress over the course of this tournament.
No, definitely. I think they're definitely showing progress, and they've definitely gotten more enjoyable, I would say. Like, I wouldn't necessarily say that they're good, but they're definitely figuring out what their style is. Like, they're coming up with a formula that works for them.
Yeah, and it's like a dirtbag heel formula sort of thing, right?
No, and I mean, like I said, like, Ray still is very clearly the more, like, charismatic one, but I think actually June is, like, showing some signs of life as well.
Yes, I agree. So that was what I took away from that match. And then next up, we had Shuji Ishikawa and Cyrus defeating Suwama and Kono in 9 minutes and 23 seconds with a big reverse splash or Vader bomb from Cyrus on Kono. Paul, shockingly good. But not even the most shockingly good match of the tournament, which I will get into later. But definitely, and, you know, played mostly straight, and which helped. And so that was really cool.
Again, like I said, they just have this back and forth. For, like, it's clean match, it's cheating match, it's clean match, it's cheating match. So, yeah. But again, like, that meant that this match exceeded my expectations. Because I was, like, coming into this, I was like, oh, God, this has... Like, I like Ishikawa and Cyrus, but, like, let's not kid ourselves. They still have the potential to get a real stinker, but that's not what this was at all. Yeah, this was just like four big men going in there and just kind of clobbering each other for 9 minutes. And yeah, and then I think the better team got the win as well.
I have to say, Kono's not been as bad as I thought he'd be when he's just wrestling straight.
No, I mean, I think Kono is a solid wrestler. It's just that he's been in Voodoo Murderers forever.
Yeah. And then in the main event, Shotaro Ashino and Ryuki Honda defeated Kento Miyahara and Takuya Nomura in 18 minutes and 43 seconds with the ankle lock from Ashino on Miyahara. Not the first time he's made Miyahara tap, but I was absolutely convinced that they were going to win this tournament.
Oh, I think they absolutely were going to be. It's like, hey, look, they're finally giving Ashino big victories. That means that they're very clearly pushing him. It obviously means they're going to win, right? Yeah.
Well, we'll get to more than that in a minute. But definitely, I'm not sure if... I would say probably the second or third best match in the tournament for me so far.
No, I thought this was pretty strong. Ashino and Honda are just a great team, and I hope that they day together when, well, Ashino comes back.
Yeah. And then so we move on to November 23rd at the Nagoya International Conference Hall in front of 477 fans. The junior battle of Glory did Ryo Inoue in 1 minute and 12 seconds with the cross arm breaker. I think they could develop a nice little storyline here, because basically Inoue tried to grapple with Sato, but then Sato just overpowered him and slapped on the arm breaker.
Yeah, I actually briefly looked down and I looked back up and the match was already over. They actually had to rewind back to actually see the match.
Next up, Dan Tamura defeated Hokuto Omori in 6 minutes and 46 seconds with the Death Valley Bomb. Tamura was dominant. I wouldn't call it a squash, though. Mm-hmm. But he just had all the swagger in the world in this, I thought.
Yeah, I was surprised how dominant Dan Tamura was in this. Like, I actually expected this to be a lot more of a back and forth, but I guess it makes sense with, like, the story that they're telling with Omori, where, like, they're kind of on, like, opposite trajectories, I think, like, compared to where they were, like, early in the year. But, like, yeah. Omori was always the guy with all of the swagger, and Dan was kind of, like, still the young boy in Evolution. And now Dan is the man and just beats the shit out of Omori and just pins him.
Yeah, it's sort of interesting because, we all thought, I think you thought this too, but we thought Omori would go heavyweight.
Yeah.
Like, earlier in the autumn, but that doesn't seem to be the case now. And you can't really do that when you, like, eat shit.
No, when you lose to, you can't go heavyweight if you lose to Ryo anyway.
Yeah. And then next up, Atsuki Aoyagi defeated Rising Hayato in 9 minutes and 51 seconds with a Firebird Splash. Paul, I mean, 10-minute time limit doesn't do this match justice.
No.
But it was pretty damn great for the time they got in it. Although not as good as their junior title match at Corrigan Hall, obviously.
No, but these still, two have amazing chemistry, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I can, it's very obvious why All Japan is very clearly positioning this as, like, the junior feud going forward.
I thought Hayato had a chance of winning here, but I think that moment,
I think you saved that one. I think you saved that one until he beats him for the title.
Yeah. And then in the real world tag league, Suwama and Kono defeated Jun Saito and Rei Saito in 10 minutes and 51 seconds with the giant knee drop from Kono on Rei. Paul, I would say it exceeded my expectations, although I wouldn't say that, like, it was incredible or even that good. But it wasn't a disaster or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
They kind of just beat the crap out of each other, and that's it worked in that level.
Yeah, no, I think... Yeah, I think exceeding expectations is probably a strong word. But I would definitely say that it... Yeah, as I said, it wasn't a disaster. So I walked away with being like, okay, that was an okay match. That could have been significantly worse.
Next up, Shitaro Shun and Ryuki Hana drew Jake Lee and Yuma Aoyagi, 30 minutes. Paul, this was pretty good.
Yeah, but yeah, it was.
I'm positive this is a spot. Would you agree?
I think so, too. Like, I went back and watched it again, and I looked at the spot that you were talking about, and yeah, I think I agree on this.
Jake Lee botched the landing of a Dr. Bomb, and Ashino landed awkwardly on his shoulder, and it was separated.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, Ashino did not sound like he just separated his shoulder, though, for the rest in the rest of the match. He's a tough cookie, obviously, and they continued, and it was great. And, like, I get it in wrestling that, you know, accidents and injuries happen, and Jake, it's not like Jake is some sort of guy that has this rep or anything. But it just adds to his overall geek aura that he injures one of the members of the hottest tag team in the company.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think it also, like, I don't know, like, obviously Jake isn't sloppy, but I think, but I feel like his effort level has been kind of, like, low recently, because I feel like he feels, like, or he knows that he's peaked now.
Yeah.
Where, sure. Like, obviously, I'm not going to accuse him here of being, like, deliberately sloppy or wanting to, like, hurt Ashino or whatever, but, like, his stuff isn't as crisp as it was, like, early in the year, maybe, when he was champion.
Definitely not, no. So yeah, but it was still a good match, really good match.
Yeah, no, it was still one of the best matches of the entire tournament. It's just that what came out of it left a bit of a bitter taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even mind, like, the time limit draw. Like, I think it was fine. Like, I think it was perfectly great for, like, a 30-minute match. And I also didn't really get the feeling that they were actually going to go time limit draw. Like, it was only, like, when they actually, like, announced that I was like, oh, are they actually going to go time limit draw here? Oh,
wow. I thought they were, actually.
Really? Like, I thought it was just going to be a long match, and then they're going to have, like, a finish, like, close, like, around, like, 27 minutes or something like that. But, no, yeah, then it just went 3 extra minutes after that.
And then in the main event for the Real World Tag League, Yuji Nagata and Yuma Anzai defeated Kento Miyahara and Takuya Nomura in 20 minutes and 17 seconds with a backdrop hold on from Nagata on Nomura. Speaking of one of the strongest matches of the tournament, I thought this was that was one of them. Mm-hmm. And I thought the chemistry between Nagata and Nomura was great.
Yeah.
It was awesome to see them finally. I'm pretty sure this is their first ever meeting. Or no, it was not their first ever meeting. But they've only ever met, I think, in All Japan in recent months.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been great.
Yeah, no. I would actually like to see a singles match between these two.
Oh, yeah. I think Nomura can get a good singles match out of Nagata right now.
Yeah. No, but I think Nagata has been good in this tournament in general.
Yes. Like, I think tag format helps
him. The tag format really helps him. Like, I think he definitely has his weaknesses in singles matches, but I think being in a tag team, especially with like someone like Yuma Anzai that can just be in there and he can take the beating and then Nagata can take the hot tag. I think that formula works really well for both men right now. And I think that showed here as well. Like, I think both of them have kind of exceeded my expectations for this tournament, especially for like points as well.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I think Nagata is looking good enough in tag matches to carry this division, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we'll get into that discussion in a second.
Yeah, but I think really, like, I think we both felt like maybe Miyahara and Nomura were going to be, like, a bit more of a factor than they actually are.
Yeah, we'll get into that. They're technically still alive. And then so we move on to the most recent show at Fujisawa, at the Shonen Fujisawa Market. This is an outdoor show in Suwama's hometown.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool. And they could make noise, so that helped a lot, I thought, in this show.
Did you just see, like, the loading pallets, like, behind the curtain?
Yes. It's a market.
Yeah, it is very much a market.
As you could tell in the main event.
Yeah. Well, not just the main event. There's another match as well that was, like, very heavily produce-based, let's put it that way.
In opening match, interesting placement. But I think this was sort of to give Suwama the attention in the main event.
Mm-hmm.
Real World Tag League. Kento Miyahara and Takuya Nomura defeated Jake Lee and Yuma Aoyagi in 27 minutes when Miyahara used a Frankensteiner on Jake, 27-04.
Mm-hmm.
I think this actually was the best match of the tournament for me. I thought actually Jake looked better here than he had in the rest of the tournament.
Yeah, yeah. This was very clear the match where Jake was motivated the most. I actually like that they put this one first because I think having Kento's music be like the first thing you hear on the show,
it
hyped up the crowd, and also like I think kind of need to like re-educate crowds about cheering in a way,
mm-hmm.
like because I think at first this crowd wasn't making like they weren't like when Kento's music hit like in Shinkiba people immediately start chanting, but they weren't here until literally Kento came out, they turned off the music, and he literally like motion to the crowd like fucking chant my name you pieces of shit. So I think that kind of like re-educated the crowd to be like, oh yeah, wait, no, we can actually make noise. And then they were like hot for like the rest of the show basically, so I think that really helped it. And yeah, I think putting an excellent match like this helped as well. And yeah, I think they did some actually like pretty decent crowd balling for this one, and then like whatever they kept in the ring was like really good as well. Like yeah, I think I agree that this is like the best match of the tournament so far.
Before we get into like the one title match, Paul, do you have any thoughts on Hikaru Sato's new gimmick? Or is that a new gimmick for him?
I don't think it's a new gimmick for him.
Has he done this in like YMZ or something?
I no, but I think maybe this is just based on where they are, to be honest.
Yeah, Ichiba Shin Ichi.
Yeah, like I think this was literally just based on the fact that they were at a vegetable market.
Yeah, he looks like a delivery man with a mask.
Yeah. Oh, you mean new gimmick in terms of like he's never done this before and not that this is his permanent new gimmick? And I was like, I think this is a one-off.
Oh, no. I meant like, has he ever done this gimmick
before? Oh, no, I don't think he's done this. Maybe he's done it in YMZ because he's done a lot of weird shit there. But yeah. No, I thought this was kind of funny. And like, especially that they were like, had like, who were the people that they were posing in the ring there?
I don't know, probably like some business owners or something.
Yeah. It's like, here's my radish. Like, okay, sure, why not?
But very poor form on Sato's part where he's tweeting out pictures of him in the gimmick before the show even started, outing himself.
Yeah, he's Hikaru Sato's true trash unmasking wrestlers.
Next up was the All-Asia Tag Team title match. Gungnir of Anarchy's Yusuke Kodama and Masao Hanabata, that's the former Sego Tachibana, defeated Yoshitatsu and Tajiri in 10 minutes and 30 seconds when Hanabata pinned Yoshitatsu with a schoolboy. Mm-hmm. Paul, I wasn't sure this was going to happen, but I'm happy it did.
Yep.
And the match was perfectly acceptable, like three gentlemen's three star, like in, out, everyone hits their spots, and a nice little finish.
Mm-hmm. I thought Yoshitatsu was really good during the finishing stretch.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he laid in those kicks in Hanabata pretty hard.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I thought when Takao, Mori, and Black Manso Ray came out that they were reforming their team to challenge Kodama and Hanabata. And I was like, oh, that could be a lot of fun. But actually, that's not what turned out to be.
No, no. It's All Japan trying to emulate New Japan from a few years ago, where there's just random four-way tag matches for titles now.
Yeah, so that is going to be, I think, what, that's on the last show of the Real World Tag League?
Yes, it's on the Korakuen show, yes.
Yeah, so it will be Yusuke Kodama and Masao Hanabata defending against Yoshitatsu and Tajiri, and Takao Mori and Masao Inoue, God almighty, and Black Mensa Ray and ATM.
Yeah. Is ATM going to do it?
I don't know.
It's the All Asia Tag Titles. Like, I'm like, especially right now, I'm like, I'm not going to make any predictions here because you very clearly don't have a plan.
No, but I mean, I think, especially if Ashino and Honda are out, I think you let the other Gungnir of Anarchy team run with those titles.
Yeah. But, you know, they could also just put it on ATM because he's a sponsor, so.
Yeah, of course.
Or they just put it back on Yoshitatsu and Tajiri, who knows?
And then next up, Atsuki Aoyagi defeated, for the Junior Battle of Glory, defeated Hokuto Omori in 9 minutes and 26 seconds with a Firebird Splash. Again, another great outing from Aoyagi, but poor Hokuto eats shit.
Yeah. Still at 0 points. That's why I'm thinking, like, yeah, maybe he beats Sato because he's never beaten Sato before, but like, I think it's more interesting if he literally goes winless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess either way, but he can still disappointing when everyone else did pretty well and everyone else got some big wins in this tournament.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm actually curious now, like, what is your prediction kind of for, like, what is going to be like the final of this tournament, because they are actually having a final. Like, this isn't like whoever has the most points at the end wins. Like, this is actually first place against second place for the tournament at Korakuen.
Either Atsuki versus Dan or Dan versus Hayato, I think.
Yeah, I think that's the most likely one as well. And then does Dan win? Like, do they just basically just have Dan dominates everyone and then wins the tournament?
Yeah, I think that's either it. Or Atsuki wins and then you bring out, like, a legend to have him face in January. It'd have to be a decent-sized
Black game. Tiger 7.
No, no, like, I don't know, Kotaro Suzuki, for example.
Yeah, that would be a
Not
fun
that
one.
I think that would happen.
No, I don't think so.
Or Naruki Doi.
Naruki Doi would be awesome. Naruki Doi would be absolutely awesome if they can swing that.
Or something like that. But it would have to be a name like that.
Yeah.
If Aoyagi is going to win. And then so we go, Paul, this is the miracle match, copyright Alan 4L, of the tournament. Jun Saito and Rei Saito defeated Shuji Ishikawa and Cyrus in like 13 minutes, because the time I got off of Pure Love Here Is Wrong. It was like 1345 around that, with like a drill hole pile driver from Ray on Ishikawa. Paul, everything about this was incredible.
Yes.
in reasonable when I say that, but it goes 1345, which is one of the longer matches for the Saitos in this tournament. They don't do any rest holds in this. They're just pummeling each other for like almost 15 minutes, and it's great. I love this. It's not the best match of the tournament, but it's up there, and it was just... Now, this is an exceeding expectations match.
Yes, absolutely.
And I thought it was perfect. Ishikawa, again, carried most of the work, and Cyrus came in and hit his spots. So I thought Cyrus was going to break his neck on that Miss Moonsault, though.
Yeah. No, this was so much better than it had any right to be. Like I was talking about earlier, about like, oh, it's just like four big guys going and beating the shit out of each other. That's really like, that's all this match was. Like, there was just like four large men just being in there and just like slapping each other. And
yeah, and another thing is the Saitos controlled most of this match.
Yeah.
Which I think was also like helpful.
Yeah, and then Cyrus just coming in on the hard tag and just laying waste is always awesome.
That double, when he hit both of them with the crossbody, was
oh,
awesome.
God, yeah. Like, I popped out of my couch when I saw that. I was like, holy shit. No, this was really awesome. Like, I like more of this. Like, if this is kind of like what we're getting from the Saitos, then yeah, like I said, like, they're really figuring out their formula right now. So, and I think this is kind of like the perfect promotion for them to be in. Like, I think don't think they would work anywhere else in Japan except for All Japan.
No. And they wouldn't
put them in Gleet, and then would be like, they would stick out so badly.
Yeah. And in All Japan, you got other big guys that can just slap each other around.
Yeah, exactly. Like, where else are you going to get like a Shuji Ishikawa and like Cyrus? Like, and yeah, no, I think this is just so far and away exceeded my expectations.
Oh, I forgot to say, because Jake and Yuma were eliminated by losing to Kento and Nomura, because Shuji and Cyrus are going to finish with 8 points because they were supposed to face Ishino and Honda on the final night.
Yep.
And everybody else can still get to 8 except for Yuma and Jake.
Yep, so you can't even have that as your backup plan.
Nope. Which I thought was going to be the backup plan, but...
No, they're the first team eliminated.
So, Paul, where is this going? I really think it's either Shuji and Cyrus or Nagata and Anzai, to be honest with you.
I could see that. I could also see
Kento
them
go... Kento and Nomura are in their own storyline that's probably going to be for the Triple Crown.
Yeah. I think the only other team that I think has a chance is Kumadoi.
Yeah, that's possible.
Because maybe...
Like Kumadoi versus... Suwama and Kono on January 2nd?
Doesn't really excite me, no. Whereas...
No.
I mean, the thing is Yuji Nagata going to be available for that show, though? That's the thing.
I mean, presumably. Why not?
Yeah.
Where is he booked? He's not going to be on Wrestle Kingdom except for, like, the Ramble.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you can get Yuji Nagata there, then, like, I would say maybe that team makes, like, the most sense.
Yeah.
I think Shuji Ishikawa with Cyrus would be like the most fun option, I would say.
Yeah.
But you would have to have them win, I think.
Yes, I agree. Like, but like, how much is Cyrus? Well, here's the thing. Is Cyrus available on January 2nd?
That's actually another good question. Yeah, if he has to go back to the US.
Now, I think they're 90-day visas, so he probably... But, you know, maybe he has a schedule already.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I mean, I would ditch your indie booking in Georgia for All Japan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I would also much rather work Korakuen in January than, like, I don't know, in a VFW hall in front of, like, 12 people.
But also, unless... Because of the way this is formatted, and I don't think they're just going to have Shuji and Cyrus win by default, we're getting an actual finals now.
Yeah. I think that is the most likely one, because otherwise...
And I think Nagata and Anzai versus Shuji and Cyrus is also makes most sense as the final.
Yeah. No, I would agree on that. Like, I think that would... Because I think that one is like... You have like a very likely outcome for either of them winning. Like, if you put Suwama and Kono in there, it's like very clear that the other team is winning.
Yeah.
So I think that could be a lot of fun. Nagata and Anzai. Look, you're gonna have to want to like push Anzai probably sooner rather than later. Like, obviously not like immediately give him a title or something like that.
Well, I mean, I'm not completely against strapping Nagata and Anzai with the tag titles on January 2nd.
That is really quick though for a title. He literally just made his debut less than 6 months ago.
So? I mean, I think, you know, like this for All Japan is not a bad idea. Be a little more daring.
Yeah.
And plus, they win the titles. Ashino and Honda could take them off anytime. You know, if they only get one defense, I don't think it makes a big deal.
Yeah, true.
Because, I mean, Ashino separated his shoulder. We don't know how severe it is. Mm. It could mean 6 weeks. It could mean surgery. Mm. If he's back in 6 weeks, you could just do the title change that way. And Anzai still gains plenty if he wins the tag titles even briefly.
Yeah. I mean, I think you've convinced me here. I think that actually would be like... Because that's also like the most fun story they could tell as well. Just have Voodoo Murderers beat the shit out of Anzai and then they still manage to come back and like get the victory.
Yeah. Now, if Cyrus and Shuji win the tournament, I'd also strap them up.
Yeah.
Because you've never done Shuji and Cyrus versus Ashino and Honda now.
Oh, yeah, right, because that's a forfeit now, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think you can go either way. I'm not... Like, I would personally go with Anzai and Nagata, but I think both are pretty viable with what you have to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's just that if you strap up Ishikawa and Cyrus, then it's like the question, how much is Cyrus available for you? So... And I think it's kind of like harder for them to have a short title reign than it is for like Nagata and Anzai to have a short title reign.
Yes. Because you've already, and especially you've put so much into them, right?
Yeah.
Just for them to win the tournament and then immediately lose the titles after winning them, that hurts their momentum.
Yeah. Where like this is like basically the monster team like needs to like hold it for like a bit before they lose it.
Yeah. And also I will give some props to Ishikawa because unlike the other large gentleman in his late 40s, he's putting over talent more regularly.
Yeah, because he's the one taking all the faults for his team. Like, it's not Cyrus.
No. So good on Shuji, who knows his role.
Yeah,
I guess.
I mean, he is allegedly still one of the bookers, right?
Yes, as far as I can tell.
Yeah,
no.
It's very hard to figure out for All Japan.
Yeah, or many other companies.
Yeah.
In the main event, the Shonen Vegetables, Suwama Taru and Kono defeated Takao Mori, Yuji Nagata, and Yuma Anzai in 1824 when Suwama used the backdrop suplex on Anzai. Paul, I didn't hate this.
Yeah, this
for
was
a couple
fine.
Of reasons. It was fun. I love the they went all out in the crowd brawling like they usually don't during COVID in this one. Suwama was over because it was his hometown. There were some, well, I don't know if they were plants, but somebody who obviously in, because Taru was like harassing businessmen in the crowd, like choking them and whipping them.
Yeah, that was very clearly like a spot there. Like they probably like went out drinking afterwards as well.
Yeah, for sure. And so there was crowd heat to this and it was like shockingly fun match.
Yeah, no, I think it really helped that like this happened where it happened.
Yeah, exactly. It was like the heat and everything. And then after the match, all the members of Voodoo Murders, including the Saitos, posed with produce.
It's such a weird...
to our Twitter.
It's such a fucking weird sentence out of context.
I know. But, yeah. So, yeah, I guess we sort of went over the scenarios there for the Junior Battle Glory in the Real World Tag League. I'll just quickly, I guess, the matches we got coming up. So in Osaka on Sunday at Edion number 2 on December 4th, Bodyguard will be teaming with Ryuki Honda against the Saitos. Paul, Bodyguard versus the Saitos. Are you ready?
I'm actually more excited about that now than I was before.
Now, here's an interesting question. Jake Lee and Yuma Aoyagi versus Nagata and Anzai. Paul, to get, if Nagata and Anzai are going to win this tournament or even make the finals, they have to beat Jake and Yuma here.
Yeah. No, I mean, obviously, like, I think they kind of have to win out, right? Well, I mean, yeah, obviously, they have to win out to get to 8 points, but yeah.
Koji Doi.
And I mean, Jake and Yuma are already eliminated, so, like, you can beat them, it's fine.
Suwama and Kono versus Kuma Doi. I assume Suwama and Kono are going to win because you want to keep them alive into the last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And plus, I think it's Jake and Yuma versus Koji Doi or Kuma Doi in the last night, so. The match of the losers.
Yeah, but I mean, in that case, like Koji Doi, like that's what I mean. Like Koji Doi and Kumarashi can still get to 8 points there.
Yeah. Kento and Nomura versus Takuya Nomura versus Tsuji and Cyrus. Kento and Takuya have to win, or Tsuji and Cyrus win the tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much, yeah. So I would assume that they win there. But then they get to 6 points with that. And then they have one more match, so they could, in theory, also still get to 8. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're getting ties. That's why, it's got to be a final.
Yep.
And then in the Junior Battle of Glory, it's Atsuki Aoyagi versus Dan Tamura. That's interesting. I could see Atsuki winning, and then Tamura winning again in the finals. Hokuto Omori versus Hikaru Sato. We talked about that. I think there's a real possibility of Hokuto winning, finally beating Sato. Mm. And then Hayato versus Inoue. And I would assume that Hayato is probably more likely to go to the finals than Atsuki, and he wins there.
Yeah. So, in this case, Dan has to beat Atsuki as well. Because, but in that case, they have both of them have 6 points, right? This, with Hayato.
Atsuki's got 6 points. Oh,
yeah. Because Atsuki has the tiebreaker over Hayato.
Well, they don't do tiebreakers in All Japan.
So what do you do then? Freeway?
No, you do a playoff at the end of Osaka.
I don't know. But in that case, I would say it's more likely that it's the finalist just Atsuki versus Dan.
Maybe. And then on December 7th, Wednesday, I think that is. Yeah, on a holiday. So it'll be interesting to see what they draw, though. So you got Kuma Doi versus Jake and Yuma, Suwama and Kono versus Nagata and Anzai. So I think that will be a very important match.
Yeah,
Kento and Takuya versus the Saitos, and I would assume the Saitos win that to keep Kento and Takuya out of the finals, and then Kento and Takuya have their breakup.
Actually, there is an issue with that, though, isn't there? Yeah, because the Saitos get 2 points by forfeit, so that puts them at 6, so they would get to 8 points.
Oh.
Right. Yeah, the math of this is really fucked up now.
Yeah. Well, this is where double countouts come into play.
Yeah, maybe this is like just like a double countout or something like that, because I think that way you keep both of them out of there.
Yeah. And then, the finals, and then that All Asia Tag Team 4-Way. So interesting going into the stretch, although under such horrible circumstances of Ishino. And again, we don't know the severity. So it could be, he could be back by the Cork and Hall at the end of January. I think it's like 20 something. Or he could be out a long time. It's, a little concerning.
Yeah, actually, but, just
we will see.
Running down the card as well, I'm actually a bit more convinced now as well that they're going to do Nagata and Anzai with Ishikawa and Cyrus as like a playoff. Because you can tell the story that like Suwama and Kono just like beat down Nagata and Anzai, whereas Ishikawa and Cyrus don't have a match. So like they're completely
they
rested.
They do have a match.
They do? Oh yeah, right. They have Inoue and Honda. Against,
very threatening.
Yeah, so I would expect them to just get like a really quick win there.
Oh yeah, they'll just beat Izanagi in 3 minutes. Yeah,
because that's generally what they do when they have a playoff, because like they did that like I remember that they did that like a few years back for, I think they did it in the Real World Tag League a few years back where they had like...
Was it are you thinking like the one that was the finals of Violent Giants versus Naoya Nomura and Jake Lee?
Yes, exactly, where like Violent Giants just like, where Suwama just choked out Tajiri in like a minute or something like that when Tajiri and Kai came out in clown masks.
Oh God, yes. And then that was also the show where Jake pinned Kento with that like Japanese leg roll clutch.
Yeah.
Because this is 2019.
I think that was 2019, yeah, because I remember that I reviewed it for the website.
Yeah, that was the match that Jake and Nomura versus Kento and was it Yuma?
Was that 2018? Yeah. Maybe that would have been 2018. But yeah.
No, it was 2019.
Yeah.
Versus Kento and Yuma was incredible, actually.
Yeah. So like, but that's like, but that's what I mean. Like, that's generally what they do when they have when they do a playoff. That like one team, like one participant of the match wins really quickly, and then the other one have like a grueling match. But then it's generally the one that had like the grueling match that actually like wins in the end.
Yep, classic story.
Yeah. So
I think, yeah,
that's just like you just put over like Nagata and Anzai. It's just like mega baby faces where they overcome like two monster teams on one night.
Yeah, and you gotta give. Like, and you do, like, if Nagata and Anzai win the tournament and they lose on January 2nd, is that too deflating? Or do you think that's something you can get away with because Anzai's a rookie?
I think that's fine. I think you can really go either way. Like, you can strap them, you can strap up Anzai and Nagata, and I think that would be a really interesting story. Like, to have Anzai be, like, just, like, a super rookie, basically, that just, like, comes in and, like, wins a title within the first 6 months. But you can also reasonably just go like Suwama and Kono. Like, if I think I would make it dependent if you know if Ashino can come back quickly.
Right.
Because I would almost say that it makes more sense if Ashino comes back quickly that Suwama and Kono retain the titles, because that way you can just still have the whole.
But I would get those titles off of Suwama and Kono as soon as Ashino's back.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, but I mean, like, it actually makes more sense if Ashino is back quickly that Suwama and Kono keep the titles, because that way you can still have the whole, like, they get revenge for, like, losing the titles in the first place due to cheating.
Yeah.
So, whereas maybe if he's out a little bit longer, you can, like, put it on Nagata and Anzai, have them hold it for, like, a little bit, and then if Ashino's still out longer, you can, like, put it on someone else and see where you go from there.
Well, there's also the storyline. I forgot until it just remember this now, but Suwama said he wants Yuma Anzai to join Voodoo Murders.
Oh god. Yeah, I really hope
that's
like just
Tokyo Sports story.
Really hope that's just a tease, because I don't think that would be a horrible move.
But it at least builds into their story.
Yes, it at least goes into their story. But then again, that's a story that this isn't even the first time that they've used. This isn't even the first time this year that they've used that story. They literally just did this with Kento.
Basically, yeah. So, yeah. So I would say, yeah, I mean, very interesting going in.
So what do you think then of Nagata joining Voodoo Murderers?
Oh, God. I don't think I could buy him as a heel.
No, yeah, that I'd
especially know. At this stage.
Yeah.
Like, I could buy him maybe, you know, in the 2000s if he just, like, kicked the shit out of, like, someone and brutalized some baby face, I could get him. Although, I even then, he never, I don't think, fits as
like
a heel.
Like, I'm trying to think, like, but he was never a heel, right?
Like, I mean, he was... Yeah, because he was getting cheered against Tanahashi, because that's still when Tanahashi was like somewhat getting some rejection by some fans.
Yeah.
But he was sort of heelish towards, like he's good as a heel in those interpromotional matches, like when he was in Noah in like 2002, 2003.
Yeah. But like otherwise,
he doesn't really work as a Voodoo Murder style.
Dice his hair red. Yeah, no, I don't think that works.
No. So, yeah, that is... what do you think of the direction then? Because it's like... I don't know. I think it's pretty decent.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can't really get a feel to it until you see what they do in
January. Yeah, like, I think they kind of got fucked here with the Ashino injury. So they're going to have to kind of scramble and figure something out what they're going to do with that now. But I think, like, they're kind of really, like, hitting all the right notes with the booking of the junior division. Like, I think the Junior Battle of Glory, like, aside from the issues that I've had that the matches are too short... I think they've booked that tournament perfectly.
Yeah. So I think that we will see, and it's going to be a critical couple of months, because I think All Japan really needs to do certain things in 2023, or we're just going to be continuing to spin in circles, and guys are going to miss their window to become stars.
Yeah. But I think really, I think Anzai is going to be the key here. How they're going to handle that.
Yeah. Well, do you think Anzai's a threat and Yuma gets lost in the shuffle?
It could happen. I mean, he was kind of lost in the shuffle in this tournament already.
Well, he's been arguably lost in the shuffle for the last couple of months.
Yeah.
Maybe not as much as some people think, but they got to do something with Yuma in the first half of the year.
Yeah, they definitely have to do something with him there, yeah.
Well, I mean, there's only one thing to do with him.
Yeah, win the Triple Crown.
Yeah.
Like, do you just have him win it, like, early in the year, or do you have him win basically back-to-back champion carnivals and then he beats?
I think the back-to-back champion carnivals is good because it establishes him as, like, you know, no one has done this since, like, Minoru Suzuki in, like, what, 2009 in 2010?
Yeah. So, and then you just have him win the title.
That's a nice little, that's a nice feather in his cap, and you can build like the right amount of, it's the right time to build, I think.
Yeah.
But who knows? Watch it be Yuma and or something. I don't know. Anyway, given how long it is before Noah starts running shows again, Paul. Should we just come back after the Real World Tag League to do a show on that?
Yeah, I think that might be the best, because then we really don't have all that much for like a while. Yeah, I think it might be best if we just review the finals for the Real World Tag League, yeah.
Yeah, December 14th is Noah's next show.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's going to be some news either way. So yeah, maybe we'll come back at some point next week after the Real World Tag League and talk about that. So we will see you very soon. So for Paul Vosch, I'm Gerard DiTrollio, and take care.
Hola, hola. My name is Ricardo. I am the host of the Lucha Jobbers podcast here in the Voices of Wrestling podcast network. We are a Spanish-speaking show dedicated to discussing and analyzing pro wrestling from all across the world. From AEW to CMLL, we talk about American wrestling, Japanese wrestling, and of course, Lucha Libre. If something big happened in the pro wrestling world, we will talk about it. So if you know Spanish or have a friend that knows Spanish or want to practice your Lucha Libre pronunciations, go listen to the Lucha Jobbers podcast right here in the Voices of Wrestling podcast network. Nos vemos por ahí.